In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to Providence Presbyterian Church. I hope that you will help me figure out how to do this because it feels like I've been gone an awfully long time, but it is wonderful to be back with all of you following my 2 months of sabbatical and many, many travels that I look forward to sharing. We particularly would like to welcome those who are visiting with us, and I hope that you will provide me grace in letting me know if this is your first time or if you've been here for all of the last 2 months, and I just didn't know it. And we'd invite everyone to sign the welcome pads that you'd find at the end of the pews and to pass them down the pews so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Anyone who wants one, and we would be delighted to encourage everyone to wear name tags for our opportunities to greet you one-on-one following the worship service. Our Tuesday evening barbecues continue through the month of August, and thanks to all of you who have hosted and co-hosted the cooking and the setting up, and all who've contributed to putting away things at the end of the evening too, cleaning up. They continue on the front lawn from 6 to 8, anyone is welcome to come, bring a dish to share, or make a contribution towards the meat. We do need a host for Tuesday. Sally is looking at me. But Sally can answer any questions you might have about that, and we're also looking for hosts for the 20th of August as well. But so please help us out as we together greet our neighbors and those who are new to the community. There is a worship committee meeting on Thursday night. It's not on the calendar, but there is a worship committee meeting on Thursday night at 7:30, and we always welcome new members to any of the teams that are working in various areas in the life of this church. If you have not had an opportunity so far to weigh in on the future pastoral direction of the church, those forms are in the back of the sanctuary, and this is your opportunity to use those forms as the interim study committee meets tomorrow to continue that discussion. And I know there's at least one other announcement. I'd like to call forth Ginny to make an announcement about the mission trip.
So when we send people out in mission, we have the opportunity to support them. And as I said last week, this year I have the amazing opportunity for all of you to purchase stock in this trip. If you are not going on the trip, or even if you are and you would like to support this trip in some concrete way, please feel free to buy stock, $1 a share, and we will sell you as many shares as you would like. For your efforts, you will receive a stock certificate with your name on it, signed by a mission trip participant, and you'll receive, from the field, a postcard. So buy stock in this sale and support those who are going out from this place into the world to do mission.
Other announcements this morning.
I will be away next week, just in 2 days, mission trip. And after that, directly, I will be on vacation from the 12th of this month until September 3rd. So I hope you know I'm just not leaving because Pastor Chris came back. But I'm going on vacation. This was planned, so I hope you know that. So I will be away for almost 4 weeks, included the mission trip. So thank you.
But I'm back. Okay. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. As far as the east is from the west, north is from the south, so is God's love for us. Confident in that promise, let us come together to worship God.
Thank you.
sin separates us from God. In what we do and in what we have left undone, we fall ever short of the life that God intends for each of us. And yet, through grace, we are invited into new life, to choose life, to confess our sin, to draw near to God, and receive again the promise of forgiveness. In that spirit, today, let us pray, first in silence, then joining together. God of grace and goodness, what we claim as our own, you create and give to us. What we would use for ourselves alone, you entrust to us for the blessing of all. Where we perceive scarcity, you provide enough for all. Where we grasp and hoard, you invite us to share. Where we privilege some at the expense of others, you endow all with value, worth, and dignity. Where we divide and exclude, you invite and welcome all to the table. When we turn from your way, you love us still. When we fall short, you make possible new beginnings. God of grace and goodness, forgive us, renew us. Open us afresh to the leading of your Holy Spirit, for the living of our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us remain seated as we sing together our song of confession, Bind Us Together, in the small hymnal number 2226. In quietness and in trust is our strength through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, believe this good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and freed. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God's time to share our joy and concern to each other and to the Lord.
It's the first Sunday of August, and that means that the anniversaries of Hiroshima and Nagasaki are days away. I suppose especially fitting in a state that still has a VJ Day, with I think one or two other states in the country, that we pray for rationality and sanity in the weaponry that we and other nations have at our disposal, and are mindful of the damning damage that can be done.
I want to pray for my father. He has an interview in our embassy in Iraq on 14th of August. Please pray for the safety until he arrives to the embassy. And God make the grace in the eye of the person who gonna meet him, and everything will go as well, and the procedure will go fast. Please, thank you.
Rich Evans has had 7 cycles of chemo. He has started the 8th cycle, but the first 7 did not reduce his tumor. When he's finished with the 8th cycle, they will try and remove it surgically. He says he is living on prayer and faith, and I think he can use help.
I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my nephew, Jeff, who is ongoing his treatment for lymphoma. They'll get the results. They'll have a PET scan and get the results this week. And I'm just praying that the tumors have shrunk and that the results are good.
Jim's niece, Heather, is married to Mike Sullivan, who is a Navy doctor. He's just been deployed to Afghanistan. So I would pray for Mike, for his safety. I know it's still a very dangerous place.
Continued prayers for Walter and for my grandson, Mason, who will be 16 on Tuesday, but is suffering from depression.
Good morning, I have a joy. My cousin, Reverend Emmanuel, came from Ghana to visit me. Yeah.
Good morning. I'd like to request prayers for my sister, Tiffany, who's 26 years old in Pennsylvania. She was recently diagnosed with acute leukemia, and she will be undergoing a series of rigorous chemotherapy treatments. And to just pray for her for strength during the treatments. The doctors are convinced that if she can maintain the rigorous schedule for the next year and a half, she can probably be completely fine. And also for my parents who need to partially relocate to Hershey Medical Center to take care of her this time. Thanks so much.
I have I'm happy Chris is back because we're going to have coffee on Wednesday's mornings. Also, I want prayers for my son. He's going through a divorce, and he's been drinking a lot through it all. Prayers for my family, because right now I'm dealing with some stuff, and I can't really be around them right now because of their struggles. But I pray for them, and, you know, I know God's keeping them safe, you know, and they got to go through what they got to go through. You know, I believe that I have the faith that they'll get through it, you know, through God, and through the prayers through the church. You know, and I'm really grateful for all the prayers from the church and the people here, because I know if I didn't have the prayers here, because I feel it when I'm doing wrong or I feel different, because it's just like a spark comes into my heart and it opens me up to other decisions and good ones. But I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Good morning. Please pray for daughter and granddaughter, a friend of ours. Her name is Catherine. She sustained very serious injury. She's 13 years old and she's in a critical condition. Thank you.
I'll ask for a special prayer for Egypt. As a few hours I heard there is a violence happening between Christians and Muslims. And this event just happened like 10 minutes away from my own family. So it's really very close to home. So pray for them.
I'd like to, prayers for the joy of being back with you all and back with my family and worship again for the only Sunday all since May that we will be together all summer. And this is Andrew's birthday. So. Let us pray. God of grace, throughout the ages, you have poured your power upon your people. You have brought them through dark times and shown them the light and love of day. You created the world and called it good. You gifted our world with Jesus Christ to redeem our sin. Your Spirit continues to flow. We give thanks for the signs of your Spirit as we continue to move forward in faith and trust in these days. We pray for the changes of rhythm that summer often gives, for Sabbath rest and renewal, for the opportunities to serve in our mission trip this week and all who have committed themselves to that endeavor. Bless them with your grace and strength as they witness to your love and care. We pray, O Lord, for our community and our world, for an end to violence and war, particularly for this recent violence in Egypt, for those facing homelessness and hunger, unemployment and fear, racism and despair, for all those who seek to be witnesses to new life and serve those in need in these days. We pray for places of war and particularly for Mike's deployment in this time. We give thanks for the milestones of our lives as we anticipate changes and travels. For Gladys's daughter traveling this month, for the embassy interview with Veen's father, for safety and success in that. We pray for those in special need of healing in their lives, for those needs that are spoken and unspoken, for Rich, for Jeff, for Walter and Mason, for Tiffany, for Melinda's family, for Beatrice, for Catherine, for Ken. We pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones on or near the anniversaries of those deaths. For the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, for new ways of living into the fullness of life. We give thanks, O God, for the joys of our life as well, for the opportunities to be with one another in new ways in these summer months, for the visit of Reverend Emmanuel from Ghana, for Andrew's birthday. Live in us, O Lord, this day and all days as we seek to live in you fully. May we look to you as the author and finisher of our faith, reminded of your power in these sacraments, these signs and seeds and seals of your love for your church. In the words of our Savior, we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There is childcare available downstairs for children aged 3 through 3rd grade if they would like to avail themselves of it. Thanks be to God for those who care for them during these days. And we will need Nathan Jumbo back for the commissioning of the mission trip when it happens later.
Our scriptures may always be found in your pew Bibles and are also projected. The first reading is from Psalm 107, beginning at the first verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, in which Jesus continues speaking to the crowd. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
on the first Sunday of August, where we all of us tried to catch what's left from the summer. And we all, if we were looking for vacation or a time with a family, we all concerned about how to catch our time before a busy season. And maybe this is a good thing to enter to this text, which in somehow is really not easy to understand. And this parable has been said and preached about for millions of times in different ways. And as I said that, I want to tell you how hard it is to share something is really preached very well from many people. But I'm going to share with you my struggle with the text a little bit. The context starts as the parable being told when Jesus was teaching a pretty big crowd, maybe many thousand people. Some in the crowd shouted out and asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. And here is my struggle. Jesus replied by refusing not to involve. And I'm trying to justify how Jesus could not answer a cry for justice. Jesus replied, refusing maybe to involve himself in a conflict in a family, in a brother dispute. But me also, he brought this not to be a personal matter, but to bring a bigger discussion, to turn the whole table around and say, this is not only a problem with one guy and his brother, but there is something we all can learn as a crowd. And I had a hard time, as I said, to deal with Jesus' answer to this poor young brother. And I have my own bias for that. I spent half of my time in ministry in Egypt, dealing with family fights, and many of these deadly, sometimes physically and literally deadly fight, because of many things related to inheritance. I know brothers and sisters killed each other because of the inheritance. I know family that's no more, they are not talking anymore to each other because of the inheritance. And according to the Jewish law, the firstborn inherit double what other brothers get. This is not fair. I know God said that. But why this one brother takes double and the other takes half? Yeah, God said, and we have to apply that. But if I'm in the place of the young brother, I will not feel good. And in Egypt, in our day, according to the Muslim law, women inherit half of what men inherit. And I fought with many Christians about this is not the right thing according to our religion because we are not Muslim. So why when it comes to money, you do not mind to borrow other people's tradition and religion to excuse your unfair behavior? And people ask us as clergy people to come and act, not really as a judge, because I assume judge is looking for justice. Not really as somebody's trying to stand in the middle. But you know, clergy people in my culture, regardless if you are Muslim, Christian, Jewish, you are so powerful. Whatever come out of your mouth, people will hear it, obey it, and understand this is the right thing. And especially with our poor, persecuted woman in my culture, this will be the only way of the priest or the pastor said that, so I have to follow that. So they actually used us to make an influence to take their side and not really to be right. So I'm hoping walking through this parable is to find some excuse and understanding for why Jesus dismissed this personal cry for justice. The man in this parable, the farmer, is rich, is introduced very clear. The message is very clear. Nothing to worry about. Is a man of wealth and greed. And we know the story about building more barns and avoiding using empty barns that owned by other farmers. His income this year was above his expectation. He was really not bland for that. And this is remind me also about people, how farmers, rich farmers react in my culture too. It's remind me only very, very rich farmer can store that much to wait for a price to increase or raise so they can sell it. Because when I remember 99% of my own village people, regular, I call them regular farmers. This, what they stored corn and wheat, for food, the only they have so they can make bread during the whole year. That's the only fortune they are hoping for. And they hope for their own stored corn and wheat to cover them during the whole year. And even I remember, I'm not speaking hypothetically, I'm really speaking from my personal life witness. Even when some neighbors could not have enough to complete their making bread for the end of the year, they will go to other neighbor asking to borrow some wheat and corn until the harvest come, and they give them from the new harvest. In my village, in my own village, people shared their fortune because they know that's the only way they can be secure. And they know also they cannot be blind because you are trapped by the eye-to-eye relationship with everybody know everybody. And I remember even when my neighbors and relatives used the roof of our house to store corn and wheat. And they gave us a lot of corn and wheat. So some years we didn't need to buy any corn and wheat to make a bread for the whole year. But going back to why this harsh title for this parable about why he is a fool. And Luke used a very specific word in Greek, which not only meant literally the fool we understand in English, but it could mean the unwise choice, or the other word really not being in touch. The rich is fool because he lives in his own bubble, his own circle. He's secure as much as nobody's entering and nobody's getting out. I am closed, I am in my own security zone. He has no one to talk and to share his situation with. And above all, he's fooled because he doesn't know he has a problem. And even if he moved to the good side of having a problem, it's not really a big problem. That could be a good thing to happen in our life. But also, he is the one who will have a fix to every problem. He thought he fixed his problem in 1 second. He stores his wealth in barns and believes this is all he needs. But look what he lacks. He lacks family, people around him to help him, farmers who work day to day to earn their bread. He lost the support of the community. He's not only portrayed in a bad image, negative image, because he doesn't share, but because he makes his own decision as he's the center of the universe. His wealth has isolated him to the point where he has no one else. It is likely this would have been understood by Jesus' listeners. But I also wondered about, Jesus, you are preaching to the wrong crowd. You are preaching about wealth. Who's listening there? They are the farmer who couldn't go and work. They are the farmer who are worried about, I am going to get enough food for the year or not. They are all dreaming about, I hope one day I will be like this guy, concerned about how much I can store. But this is not an option in their life. They are worried about everything except worrying about being really have abundance of fortunes and goods in their life. But I think Jesus was trying to say, maybe you have another way of being greedy too, not only through materials, but even being jealous about others. And one of my favorite professors at Luther Seminary, Arlen Hallgren, a new professor, New Testament professor, said these things. Provides an example of what one ought not to be like. The person whose identity is tied up with his or her positions, status, and or achievements is driven by acquiring them, can so easily end up unaware of the call of God and the need of the neighbor. And going back to the brother question, and why Jesus answered this way. Jesus answered to the young brother, if your brother is in the same place like the rich farmer, you should not be jealous. You should really worry about himself. And you should be worried about being jealous of him. Because his fortune made him the real poor and the real fool. according to my kingdom, the kingdom of God. And if this is the kind of judge you are coming to ask, this is my answer to you. Jesus did not address this problem directly, but he used the question to address the crowd with an issue that mattered to almost everybody. One important thing to learn from the way Jesus answered is not to be distracted by personal issue if we have a vision. If we know what we are doing, it's an easy thing to be distracted with other personal matter. By personal issue that you could meet and could be met by other people. Because what can Jesus offer is limited by his time on earth, and also because his mission is to be a reconciler and not to judge, and to be a healer and not divider. So if you are coming to me to add more oil in the fire, I am not your guy. Because I don't know how much conflict between you and your brother. But I know one thing. You know yourself, and I'm worried about yourself. What's really the motive that makes you shout and cry loud and try to make your voice heard among all these people? There is something burning in your heart. But there is nothing wrong with that. But is this really the most important for you now? Jesus' answer through this parable is difficult for somebody who's dying for an answer or support. I need an answer now. I didn't need you to take me from a small circle to a big circle, from a complicated situation to a more complicated situation. And this is the kind of answer Jesus provides by taking this small personal issue to a bigger, more complicated text with the parable. Jesus took the broader question and extended by deeper question that invited everybody to think. You cannot control anybody on earth. You cannot know anything about anybody on earth except you. So instead of projecting your problem and your brother on the rich, on whatever, you are the only one, the master of your fate, the one really can know what's going on in your heart. But I can relate to this poor man who's dying for and demanding for one answer right now and just clear, give it to me. I can relate to this brother's frustration from getting his answer soon and clear. Since I started my call at PBC, the presbytery assigned me as a new interim, try to learn things through, with an expert interim pastor to coach me. And every time I meet with him and really dying for an answer and asking him, I find he makes my life more harder by asking me more questions. Here I am. In my mind, I'm saying, I am here, I want to give you, you are the expert, you know everything. Tell me, I want to fix things. And later, every time his questions are like turning the table upside down and help me to see things different and help me to think about myself. This question may be not only about others, but maybe has something to do with me. Maybe there is something I can learn, and I can know where this anxiety and this concern is coming from. And this is remind me of God is really inviting us not to make our life more complicated, but to say, survive through the struggle, bring your questions, be honest, and I will be with you. As we learn from this story, if there is one thing I want to leave with you, do not be afraid from struggle. Do not be afraid from really trying to wonder with questions. But be afraid if you are the one who is taking your questions and answering to yourself. And if you have an easy answer, you should be concerned too. Because life is very complicated. Life not ends, begins and starts around us. It evolves around the whole humanity. And even evolves around the whole creatures. Long for the giver and not for the gift. Do not invest just in yourself and stuff. Invest in people. And I will say with no concern, but be careful. I will invest in myself and in yourself if I can face myself with hard questions. When I see problems brings me closer to God and not brings me closer to selfishness and self-centered. We have a great opportunity to examine our call, our desire, our feelings, our thoughts, our decisions, if we really bring our questions into the Lord. This message is about the blessing and the fortune could isolate us from humanity and from God. But at the same time, our fortune, gifts, skills, wonderful things, jobs, money, everything we have could be used as a bridge to connect us with others, to keep our eyes on the giver and the redeemer of our life, and to make our investment that lasts for eternity. Amen.
Like to call forward the Joachim family for Phoebe's baptism this morning. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us this day, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you, for all of us. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember with joy this day our own baptisms as we celebrate this sacrament with Phoebe.
And on behalf of the session, I present Phoebe Donia Joachim, son of Medhat and Stacy Joachim, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Medhat and Stacy, in presenting Phoebe for baptism, you announce your own faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want her to study Jesus, know him, love him, and serve him as a chosen disciple. Show your purpose then by answering these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend Phoebe to be his disciple, to obey his word, and show his love?
Yes.
She looks ready. She looks so ready.
My glasses on. And this question is for the congregation. Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple the good news of the gospel, to help her to know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship to strengthen the family ties with the household of God? If so, say we do.
We do. Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with your Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose, today and for all days. Amen. Can you get to me? You don't remember me very well. Stacy and Medhat, what is your child's name? Phoebe Donia Joachim. Phoebe, one of the earliest deacons in the church, and Donye, named after a family member of Medhat's who was faithful and true and caring and a person of faith who helped Medhat grow in honor. Phoebe, Donye Joachim, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Child of the covenant, you are baptized this day into Christ's eternal church. You are now baptized into this eternal church. We remember that we have shared this sacrament with Sebastian just a few months ago. You have promised as a congregation to nurture these children as they are in our midst, for we never know how long they're going to be in our midst, and to love and to serve faithfully in the nurturing of faith in these little children. Let us pray. God of grace, we ask your blessing on these, your children, your parents, who are nurturing in the faith, Phoebe and Sebastian, who have answered the call to commit them to our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them as they grow. Give them signs and seals of your grace in their lives. Help them to know what you command, to follow where you alone will lead them, and to be a witness to you, our Lord. We thank you, O God, that you have called us to remember our own baptisms and to celebrate this sign and seal of your continuing grace in the life of families and communities worldwide. Amen. Welcome to this family of faith. It is good to be reminded of the signs and seals of God's grace in coming together with us, to be reminded that we are strengthened by God's grace alone in the life and ministry that we share. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the children of God. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of our God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was with his disciples, he took the bread, he broke it, and blessed it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. This is our Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table, nor is it only for members of this church, but for all who are baptized and put their faith and trust in Jesus. All are invited to this feast in the name and power of our Lord who has prepared it himself. This day we will be celebrating the communion by intinction. We will invite you to come forward as you are able and take a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup and commune together here with our elders and pastors. Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ, and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen.
Hear the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it unto the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. He broke it and gave it to the disciples, and saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way also he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim our Lord's death until he shall come again." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you. together the prayer of thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not God's benefits. Help us rise in your resurrection power from this table where you have served us, O Lord, by your own hand, that we may extend your arms in peace to a world at war. This we ask through Christ, in Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. May all honor and glory and dominion be yours now and forever.
It is appropriate on a Sunday when we have celebrated baptism and communion to acknowledge that we are all sent into God's world to be God's people in a place that needs the love and the peace that we bring. And it's particularly fitting that we commission those who are going out from this place to a mission field. So let me invite all of you who are going out on this trip and are present forward. And Chris, come on over here, Pastor Chris. So that we might commission you. Dylan and Ann, Jonic, Medhat, Edward, anybody, yep, come on up. And know that not all of the people who are going are present here this morning. Some, Nana is not here. And Phil is not here. Okay? Hear these words from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are called by God to be the church of Jesus Christ, a sign in the world today of what God intends for all humankind.
Those who stand before you this morning are responding to God's call to serve people in need. They will leave Wednesday around noontime and go to Philadelphia, where they will serve as ambassadors working for the organization Do One Thing as a witness to love and care and compassion in that city.
By God's grace, we are enabled to be faithful servants, sharing God's love with others as we serve them. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions now. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, showing his love as you serve? If so, answer, I will. Will you welcome the work and responsibility of this mission, showing God's love to our neighbors in Philadelphia? If you will, answer, so.
And to the members of the congregation, do you, the members of Providence Presbyterian Church, confirm the call of God to these sisters and brothers as they go out to serve? Will you pray for them in this endeavor? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Will you support and encourage them in this ministry? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
As they go out to serve, our prayers go with them.
Let us pray. Faithful God, in Jesus Christ, you called disciples and by the Holy Spirit made them one church to serve you. Bless our mission trip participants that in your service they may grow in faith, hope, and love, being faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Medhat, Brooke, Ann, Dylan, Ruth, Jonic, Ed, Nate, Gladys, and Becca, you are commissioned as ambassadors from this congregation to the people of Philadelphia. As you go out to serve, may God be with you, and whatever you do in word or deed, may it be in service to our God. Go in peace, love, and serve God. Amen.
Our worship continues as we receive and dedicate our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. God of all creation, help us to be good stewards of all you have entrusted to us, to invest our time, our gifts, and our substance in the care and service and building up of your creation, your church in all places, your children of all ages and conditions. We dedicate our offerings to this ministry in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace, create a place for all to belong.